Roughly Speaking with Dan Rodericks is brought to you by the Ivy Bookshop, an independent bookstore at Falls Road and Lake Avenue in Baltimore. The Ivy stocks a wide selection of books covering Baltimore and the Chesapeake Bay region, many by local authors. Located at 6080 Falls Road, more information can be found at theivybookshop.com or by calling 410-377-2966.
Hello again from the Baltimore Sun. I'm Dan Rodericks, and this is Roughly Speaking, episode 317 for Halloween 2017. Today, an appreciation of music from horror films with Terrence Hannum, a musician and visual artist who just loves this stuff. Terrence Hannum is the originator of the Dead Air podcast, all about music that gives us the creeps. This year, for Halloween, Hannum is hosting a Baltimore radio version of Dead Air on the Loyola University Maryland station. I'll tell you where you can hear it at the end of today's episode. This past year saw three big names in horror movie making land in the obituaries. Tobe Hooper, director of the Texas Chainsaw Massacre, died. So did Umberto Lenzi, the Italian master of horror, as well as George A. Romero, who produced Night of the Living Dead. And 2017 saw a surprising new director of the horror genre, Jordan Peele. His low-budget film, Get Out, was critically acclaimed and earned more than $250 million at the box office. Terrence Hannum is among those who regard Get Out as a great movie and with a great score.
Get Out, I think, was one of the best films of the year and definitely the best horror film of the year. But I think just in the surprise of Jordan Peele's direction, of the performances, and its message, I think it just came at a time that is not what I expected. So the music's by Michael Abel, and from what I understand, he was not really doing film soundtracks before. He was doing like work with theaters and with dance groups and stuff. And I think it's just amazing. It's really interesting. From what I understand, Michael was really interested in the elements of ancestral calls that were like telling the main character to get out and to leave, and went with that as his inspiration. And you'll hear that on this track.
Swahili we're hearing?
It is Swahili. He said something that he was researching a lot of African languages, and that wound up being the most musical to him.
This isn't a movie. It's a Netflix show, but it's current. Stranger Things. Let's talk about that music.
So that soundtrack is great. Kyle Dixon and Michael Stein, half of this band called Survive, who are kind of an all-synth and drum machine quartet. And they make music kind of in the vein of a lot of 1970s, 1980s movie scores. And they made a really evocative timepiece for this era television show, I guess, that definitely plugs into the kind of Stephen King references and all that the show is trying to make.
The next movie that you pulled some music from is called Possession.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
You have to forgive me. Like, I haven't seen a lot of these films.
It's okay.
I've probably seen the most famous horror films and a few slasher films along the way.
Of course.
But you really pay attention to this. What is Possession?
Possession is... it's a unique film from 1981. It's not necessarily a horror film. There are these kind of absurd moments in it. And Sam Stein is in it. And the soundtrack is just really, really interesting. It just got finished up at the Parkway. So there's been a lot of attention kind of, I think its audience is kind of growing in a way. It's surreal. It's bizarre. There's these kind of Cronenbergian moments. You know, it really surprises you.
And it's the music is evokes what?
You know, I think it evokes this sense of tension, a kind of... you know, this limbo that's put in. It's about this kind of end of a relationship, and then it just takes that end of the relationship and just drives it into this almost body horror-like extreme.
Another horror movie title, It Follows.
It Follows.
It's Alive. It Follows. What's It Follows?
It Follows came out in 2015. And the soundtrack's by a chiptune artist who actually made a lot of music for video games. It goes by the name Disasterpiece. And It Follows was scary, shot in Detroit, and it has these just beautiful moments of kind of abandoned landscapes, and it's about an STD essentially, and it's kind of open-ended, and it's really chilling, really scary, and the music is just excellent. Again, I listen to a lot of soundtracks, as do you, but there are soundtracks that you listen to because they're important, and the ones that you actually will put on, and this is one that I'll actually put this on and really enjoy. I think it's a great soundtrack.
This is another good title that could be a horror film, The Beyond.
The Beyond was written by Fabio Frizzi for Lucio Fulci's films, a series of extreme kind of horror films. And The Beyond is intentionally abstract. Fulci was highly influenced by surrealism, and you really see that in the movie. Scenes will end and the next scene will start, and you have no idea why it's starting there. But it's all intentional. And then the soundtrack by Fritzi, who's actually out and still playing music live today, is a great one with these choirs and mellotrons, and it's very haunting and just one of my favorite horror films. Not really that scary. It's kind of just weird and really strange. But I love this. This score is a really good one.
Terrence, what is Excess Flesh? I like the title.
Oh, Excess Flesh.
it's a funny title. It sounds like a John Waters title, but anyway.
Sure. it's a small film that came out in 2015, and my friend Jonathan Snipes did the soundtrack. He's one third of the noise rap trio Clipping, which has as their MC David Diggs, who originated the role of Jefferson in Hamilton. And you'll see him on the show Blackish. They're a great group, and Jonathan is probably one of the people who knows more about soundtracks than me. But this is just a really great score, really interesting. And the film is kind of a body horror film, kind of like Cronenberg meets like Polanski's Repulsion or something like that, but about body image. It has, I think it's a really interesting film.
You pulled a musical excerpt from Donnie Darko.
Oh, of course, yeah. Donnie Darko was composed by Michael Andrews. And if you think of Donnie Darko, very few people actually saw it when it first came out. Kind of had a really interesting history. And I think the soundtrack is beautiful and melancholy and really suits the film. Kind of, you know, Donnie Darko is not exactly a horror film. I mean, sure, it has lots of horror references. There's the shots when they go to the movie theater and it's Evil Dead. And they're watching the Evil Dead, and then he goes and does the stuff at the school. So, you know, I think that it has all these references to horror, but it's definitely about time travel, and, you know, it's kind of a coming-of-age story. Just a unique film, and Michael Andrews, I mean, he's done a lot of soundtrack work, like Bridesmaids and Neighbors, but I think that this score is my favorite of his. I think it's really good.
Legend of Hell House.
Legend of Hell House is a film from 1973, a haunted house story. But what makes the soundtrack stand out is it's Delia Derbyshire, who is a pioneer of electronic music. She originated the Doctor Who theme song that ran for like 17 seasons. She ran in the BBC Radiophonic Workshop. A genius, a brilliant mind. This is a busy time of year for me, so I'm also kind of, as I'm doing my radio show, I'm writing a lot of articles, and one of the articles I'm writing on is for Noisy, which is a subsidiary of Vice Magazine, on women in soundtracks. Which, I mean, especially when you get to horror films, you don't really find that many. Composers, exactly. And Delia Derbyshire, I wanted to try and give a little bit of a focus of attention to her. And this is a score that it's really hard to come by. I'm hoping that we'll be able to get the whole score that she did for this, because it's a really, really interesting score.
Next film starred Scarlett Johansson, Under the Skin.
And again, another female composer, Mika Levy, who's known for her work with Mikachu and the Shapes as a musician. But this score, I think it's a great film. It's beautiful. It's haunting. It's scary. But her score, is something that I think Stanley Kubrick would be entirely jealous of. It has all these weird, slowed down, sped up violins, these sounds that sound alien and then sound just beautiful and then sound terrifying. I think, again, it's rare to find a soundtrack that you'd want to just put on like a record. And this is one of those that stand out to me. It's absolutely beautiful.
I always listen to end credits music. Some people think it's an afterthought, that it's maybe even a different composer than the one who scored the film.
That happens.
I think that it does happen.
Yeah.
But don't ignore the end credits, because you might find a real gem there. I just watched the old Blade Runner, the original Blade Runner.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Vangelis.
Excellent.
I think the end credits might be the best of it. I'm not sure, but yeah. It came close.
There's a lot. I think there's like 48 tracks on the full score of what of like,
really?
when he released everything. I think it might be something like that. It's just astronomical how many different sound cues and sound ideas he was turning over.
Wow.
But yeah, those end credits are great.
The reason we're talking about end credits is because you selected the end credits from Basket Case, a 1980s film.
Yeah, so Basket Case was Gus Russo, a Baltimorean, I think.
No, this is Gus. I always say Russo.
Russo, yeah.
Gus is – I've known Gus for years. He lives here in the Baltimore area.
That's
He's a
right.
musician. He's an author. And one of the JFK assassination aficionados investigators.
Yeah, and I think I actually had to triple check a few times that it was the same person. I found an interview and he actually did liner notes when this soundtrack was reissued by this record label called Terror Vision.
He wrote this?
He wrote this. And he
Gus
has a really
is a talented guy.
Talented guy, and I think it's a great soundtrack. It's kind of a horror comedy Basket Case, kind of a seedy 42nd Street kind of movie, but I think that the soundtrack, I really love some of these labels that are reissuing, you know, kind of underappreciated scores, like Terror Vision done that with the movie Spookies and Ghost House and now Basket Case, and I think it's great to hear this, and to find that connection, I started to get obsessed, you know, with Gus Russo, yeah. Gus Russo was playing music in a bar that I think the producer frequented. He was in a band, and they kind of were like, we need some music, can you do this? And he, I think, sat in a room and just started putting out different tracks with synthesizers and some other instruments, if I remember the tale correctly. So it's fascinating to me. The late 70s and early 80s and the inventiveness of how people were putting music onto these movies, it influenced so many people. As a musician myself, these soundtracks were a huge influence on me, why I wanted to play the synthesizer.
The next movie title will strike some as the name of a band, maybe. Barbarian Sound Studio. But that's actually the title of a film. Huh?
Barbarian Sound Studio.
Oh, excuse me. It's not Barbarian?
It's Barbarian Sound.
Barbarian.
That's right. It's a film about a sound foley artist played by Toby Jones. It takes place in the 1970s. He's brought in to do the sounds for a trashy giallo Italian, you know, mm-hmm. like something I put my soundtrack on. The soundtrack was done by Broadcast, which is a duo. At the time was a duo, and it was right before Trish Keenan passed away. And they have this, they kind of had this history of using like library sounds that would be used in horror movies for their own music as broadcast. But here they kind of fold it in, and it's this movie that's within the movie because he's scoring a movie, but he's in this movie, and they do a great job of kind of reflecting this non-space that the movie establishes. So it's definitely one of the ones to check out. On the radio show, I'm going to do a few blocks of tracks from movies for directors who passed away, and one of them is Tobe Hooper. Tobe Hooper directed Texas Chainsaw Massacre, Eaten Alive, Poltergeist, and a bunch of others, The Fun House.
And he passed away this past year.
Passed away this year.
Along with some other luminaries.
Yeah, that's right. So I'm also going to focus on Umberto Lenzi and George Romero.
Romero from Night of the Living Dead.
Night of the Living Dead, exactly. George A. Romero resuscitated the zombie genre when he made Night of the Living Dead in 1968. You know, I think what we think of now as a zombie film is because of him. And I think that this is a great score that doesn't get looked at. I mean, people fawn over Dawn of the Dead and Day of the Dead, the soundtrack by John Harrison for Day of the Dead and Goblin for Dawn of the Dead. But I think that the original Night of the Living Dead score has some great tracks. This includes the actual radio and television reports that were being broadcast to the characters in the film.
It has been established that persons who have recently died have been returning to life and committing acts of murder. A widespread investigation of reports from funeral homes, morgues, and hospitals has concluded that the unburied dead are coming back to life and seeking human victims.
Nightmare City was, in America, was called City of the Walking Dead. And it's kind of a sci-fi zombie movie. You know, it's a C-grade movie. But the soundtrack by Silvio Cipriani is really good. And Umberto Lenzi is an important figure in Italian cinema. He was kind of associated with a lot of the cannibal films of the early 1980s and exploitation movies. But Nightmare City is an interesting environmental film. And he just passed away like 2 weeks ago. Angst takes a true crime story about a serial killer in Austria. It was very controversial. It was released. It was banned in the United States. But it
It was banned because it was too violent? Or what?
Because of the violence, and I think because of the killer. It's told mainly, the whole movie is his monologue, talking to you, the viewer, the whole time. And the soundtrack was by Klaus Schulze, who's one of my favorite musicians from the kind of cosmish German music scene in the 70s. He played in Ashra Temple and Tangerine Dream. And then he went on his own and made these drone-y electronic compositions.
So, Terrence, I'm glad you shared with me some of your own music, too. So I think we should finish with this
one. Oh, sure.
I had a listen, and I said, hey, this is pretty good. Who did this? This is called Adversary.
Yeah, this is for the film's called Adversary. I'm in a band called Locrian. One of our friends was doing a documentary short film, and it was called Adversary, and he asked us to do some soundtrack work for it. And we didn't know what it was about. And then we saw that it was about this politician in upstate New York named Carl Paladino, kind of a despicable figure who was sending pornographic emails and racist emails through his school board. And there's a documentary that it will debut next month. It's called Adversary. It's in the Doc Fest. It'll be in New York. And we were asked to do it. We kind of made a horror score because we were like, this guy's a terrible person. And
It's menacing.
Well, I hope so.
Is that okay? What do you think as a description of that?
That's perfect. Menacing is great. I mean, that was our idea. He's a bully. Apparently, he's going to be running for the governorship in 2018. But there's also these messages of, in the film, we meet a young activist who runs against him and almost a kid who finishes high school runs against him and loses by like a few hundred votes. I mean, against a multimillionaire. And I think that it's just amazing. And then you also meet some of the young youth activists who are upset about some of the racial content. And it is inspiring. They wind up getting him kicked off of his school board seat through really kind of like, you know, being advocates and being out there and getting engaged.
That's pretty good. How much time do you spend composing?
Not
as much as you'd like.
I spend a few hours a day probably, you know, and sometimes it's...
You're a visual artist as well.
That's
right?
Correct. Yeah. I do a lot. Yeah. But with music, I have a few groups and my own solo work, so I'm always kind of planning, you know.
Okay. And tonight it's Dead Air. Live radio for you.
That's
right.
You'll
elaborate on all of what you just heard and sampled today.
That's right.
Yeah. So one more time. This is Radio 1620 AM.
That's right.
The radio station of Loyola University.
WLOY. That's correct.
And you're going to be on at what time again?
So it'll start at midnight on Halloween in the morning till 2. And then it'll be on at 10 o'clock at night until midnight. And we might find some time to put it in kind of in the middle of the day at some point, okay. Just for that.
We'll be listening. That sounds like a good thing to be listening to on Halloween night.
Sure.
So, or first thing in the morning.
And it will be available after Halloween on the podcast that I put it up on Mixcloud. It's Mixcloud Dead Air. Dead Air Horror, yeah.
Terrence Hannum, thanks very much again.
Thanks for having me.
And happy Halloween. As noted, you can hear Terrence Hannum's Dead Air Halloween broadcast on the Loyola Maryland University radio station, WLOY, that's 1620 AM. And the show goes off in the first hour of Halloween, midnight until 2 AM, and then again at 10 PM. If you can't get the station's local signal, of course, you can listen online via WLOY.com/listen. Thanks to Terrence Hannum for joining us on today's show. And that's our program for now. For producers Steve Early, Quinn Kelly, and Christina Tasek, I'm Dan Rodericks at the Baltimore Sun. Thanks for listening to Roughly Speaking. Have a great Halloween, and we'll see you again soon.
Roughly Speaking with Dan Rodericks is brought to you by The Ivy Bookshop, an independent bookstore at Falls Road and Lake Avenue in Baltimore. The Ivy welcomes Jeffrey Kluger, whose new book, Apollo 8, presents the untold story of the historic moon voyage, a national triumph that brought us the iconic Earthrise photo and closed out one of the darkest years in modern American history. Wednesday, November 1st at 7 p.m. More at theivybookshop.com or call 410-377-2966.